Taz and AJ, Bruce Bennett Nissan News.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Connecticut has been approved for federal disaster funds. What does that mean?
Money.
The state and counties will get 75% of the costs incurred responding to the crisis from the federal government. I'm sure that'll be interesting when they get the bill from Connecticut.
Yes.
Wait. What's this, coffee?
Little pad in here.
$3 million in coffee?
What's about roads and
wait a minute.
Bridges?
Wait, pothole repair?
Right. Toll booth reimbursement? Signs already put up?
89 toll booths? The bill from Connecticut's going to be funny.
Yep.
I just say to the feds, go through that one. Very good.
Fine tooth comb
take
on that one.
Take a good look at that one.
Yeah.
We're going to throw in the kitchen freaking sink on that one. President Trump extended the social distancing order until April 30th.
The peak, the highest point of death rates, remember this, is likely to hit in 2 weeks. Nothing would be worse than declaring victory before the victory is won. Therefore, we will be extending our guidelines to April 30th to slow the spread. The next 2 weeks, and during this period, it's very important that everyone strongly follow the guidelines. The better you do, the faster this whole nightmare will end.
So there we go to April 30th.
April 30th. Wow. April freaking 30th. It's March, another month.
Part of me is relieved because I thought that Easter goal was too much, too fast, and all of what we've done so far would be for nothing. Like if job one is to get rid of this thing, that was too soon.
Right.
However, you know, it's going to wreak havoc on the economy, and I feel for those who are struggling.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses, people. When you say the word businesses, it doesn't make it that personal. You know, it's like, oh, businesses.
Yeah.
People.
People own those businesses.
People. They work at their businesses. They own the business. People.
Right. They live because people.
Lose situation.
It's all people.
Yeah. And he was saying like 10 days ago, that, man, we're going to open up next week, it seemed like. So he must have learned something.
I think he, you know, he throws out whatever working concept they're discussing behind closed doors, and he'll just throw it out there. And I think that sometimes it's calculated, and then I think sometimes he's just unpredictable.
Right.
It's tough to watch these press conferences. One, I wish I could advise some of these people on what they do visually.
Oh, yeah.
In something, and in a time like this, you don't want to be out in the Rose Garden, okay? And you don't want to start the press conference saying, it's a beautiful day in a Rose Garden. Well, have you seen New York City lately? Because it is not a beautiful day in New York City or in six other hotspots in the country. So I would say you got to be in the room, got to be in a press room. Sorry. No, it's a nice day. Got to be in a press room.
At least he stopped with like having the million people behind him.
Yeah. And then the other thing is stop engaging with these reporters. These reporters, some of them are coming in with the gotcha. All they want to do is, and I think nobody wants to see this anymore. Okay.
Yeah.
We've had enough fighting through the election, after the election, with impeachment, all this. This is real.
Yeah. Come together time.
So like if I'm the president, I'm going to say, listen, this is the one time the country wants us all to come together. And I know everybody has a different agenda and different feelings about politics.
Yep.
Time to put them aside. Now, if you come in here with a question that will provide information that Americans need to know.
Pertinent, yeah.
I will answer the question.
Right.
But if you come with one of these questions phrased as a gotcha, I'm going to move on and I'm not going to call on you again because this is the time we do it together.
Right. And then say, knock it the F off. I would say that.
Right. So that'd be my advice to him.
Right.
The president. And then to our governor, I wouldn't spend over an hour walking through a ventilator factory in Guilford to with a camera and then make with a podium and then make an announcement you ordered 100 ventilators. Okay, that could have been a 3-minute phone call and something you tick off in a list of things you've done at a press conference.
Exactly, yes.
At a real press conference.
Right.
Like, we don't need the photo ops.
No. There's not time for that.
No. How long did it take to, all right, the governor can do this day or this day at this time. Okay, can you have the owner there? Okay, we're going to bring the okay. That's a lot of time.
It is.
Yeah.
So it was way more than the hour that he spent walking around talking.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know. It's a bad visual to me. Right. 100 ventilators? Ask a hospital what that means for the state.
Yeah.
What is that? That's not even one per hospital. Okay, if you're going to do that big walkthrough, it better be 10,000 ventilators. Going to be here by this day.
Not 100.
Yeah, I don't know. There's visuals we need now. We need not a lot of little moves. We need some big ones.
Right.
You know, like if you're going to do non-essential, it's got to be big. It can't be, well, we can golf. Or you can get your dog groomed. This is serious business. Now, New York is a stone's throw away from here. Do we think that we're somehow have some invisible shield?
Right.
Westport is a hot spot in the United States. Not in Connecticut. It's a hot spot in the United States. Oh, and by the way, has anyone noticed or have you had this conversation yet that people from New York, guess where they're going?
Exactly.
Okay, there's all these houses in Connecticut on the market that haven't been sold. They're renting them.
Ugh.
And these people who have, like, they split this state because of whatever reason, they're like, yeah, sure, that's actually a pretty good idea. I'll rent it instead of just sit on it.
Yeah.
They're all over, right?
Yeah.
And I know. So what do you do? I don't know. But there has to be a conversation, right? Yeah. The governor has to go on and say something. You have to address this.
Yeah.
Let us know you know it's happening, at least.
You're aware
so
of it.
So we feel acknowledge like you're working on something.
You're aware of it.
Right, but he'll be asked about it.
Yeah.
And then he'll just say, yeah, well, there's nothing we could do, you know. And then next question. I don't know. There has to be something we could do. You see what they're doing in Rhode Island?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seems extreme, but they have military people at the borders. They have military people, police, knocking on doors.
Yep.
Anyone from New York here? If you're driving through that state with a New York plate, they pull you over. What are you doing?
Yeah, they had all cars diverting off the road to side road, and then they were checking every single person. Yep.
Yeah.
Every car from New York.
It's nuts.
It said, New York drivers, please get over here.
That was imagery we saw out of China in mid-January. We
yes.
were like, it is nuts over there.
They were pulling people who
out of
had
the cars.
Coronavirus
yeah. yep.
or sniffles or a temperature out of cars, throwing them into trucks.
And, yeah.
yeah.
Bad different allergy.
So, yeah. In Connecticut, 11,900 tests, over 2,000 cases. So if you run those numbers, not horrible.
Mm-mm.
34 deaths, horrible. Fairfield County, hotspot. New York, 59,000 cases. Now, that number is probably way more than 59,000. This is the latest number I could get.
Yeah.
Right.
They've been going, clicking up every day. It like, I'll start in the morning, I'll look. I'll say, oh. And then midday, I'm like, oh. And then evening, like, holy crap.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're saying New York's the most affected area in the entire world.
As AJ uses hand sanitizer.
In the entire world. I'm like, I want to scratch my nose. That's why.
Right.
My nose is itching.
Yeah. 33,000 in New York City. And I got to tell you, it's just a horrible sight to see body bags stacked up.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
They've lost more people in New York City than 9/11. Makeshift hospitals, makeshift morgues. It's pretty serious.
Horrible.
I mean, very serious. When I say pretty serious, I mean very serious. So Governor Lamont put out a public service announcement. Here is the audio from that.
I'm never surprised by the generosity and ingenuity of the people of Connecticut. As the COVID-19 virus puts a surge upon our hospital capacity and supplies, ordinary people are stepping up and doing extraordinary things. People with sewing machines across the state are now making top quality surgical masks. Whiskey distiller is making hand sanitizers. A parachute manufacturer is making surgical gowns. And over 1,000 nurses have come out of retirement to get back helping at our hospitals. And we need you more than ever. Students, other retired healthcare workers, go to CT Response, ct.gov. We need you now more than ever. Please register at ctresponse.ct.gov.
All right, that's good. Call to arms.
Right.
Not a fan of the music. Takes no. away from the dramatic effect.
Yes.
And it makes it feel like some stupid commercial for
like tourism.
A drug or tourism.
Tourism. Yeah.
Like a trailer for like an Oscar movie. Like
yeah.
It feels like that.
Yeah. And I think you got to keep retaking it till you get the words pronounced correctly.
Yeah.
And Church. The other thing I think I would have done, and look, I'm behind the governor. I want him to do well on this. But the other thing I would have done is I would have listed the things we need the most.
Right.
Because then people might hear that and say, oh, I can do that.
I can supply that. Yes.
Right. Right.
And that's part two.
That's part two. That's coming.
Part two, right.
He's working on it.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Oh, one more thing. We also need blah, 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 and better musicians. I don't like the song.
Right. At least he was looking in a camera. He wasn't talking to an invisible person in a diner.
Right. So we're making progress here.
Yeah. I honestly, from the bottom of my heart, want him to do well, but I am frustrated with some of the decisions that are being made. But I do recognize I'm not in the room listening to the information that's coming out. But from the cheap seats, I do know that golf's irrelevant. Grooming your dog's irrelevant. There's a lot of stuff. If you're going to shut restaurants down, there's a lot of other things that need to be tightened up.
Right.
It feels very Connecticut to do all that and then leave the golf courses open.
Just keep liquor stores open, please.
Yeah.
That's
and
essential.
Here's a story, and there's a lot of these stories. A Miami nurse who fought coronavirus dies from her illness.
Oh, man.
63 years old, she came down with it while working in the intensive care unit at Jackson Memorial Hospital.
Oh, no.
Even though she was at an at-risk group, she still fought the fight. There's a lot of people like this out there.
Yep.
A lot. Some of them are driving into work right now, so we thank you for that.
Yes.
Jerry, our friend, checked in with us Friday, and I did not expect him to sound the way he did, and it shook me and shocked me. 57-year-old guy, couple of underlying health issues, but besides that, just a healthy, strong 57-year-old dude.
Former military.
Former Marine.
Yeah.
And he went to the hospital on a Thursday, and they thought it was bronchitis. He came back on Saturday. They admitted him for pneumonia. They gave him a test. He had coronavirus. And he got worse, and then he got better. And, you know, I'm not going to share the information, I'll just say that I'm worried about him now, and it's not better than it was when he spoke to us on Friday. That's what made it real, and that's what made it not a number.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's tough to listen to someone you know going through that.
Oh, horrible.
It was painful to hear him struggle to talk and breathe.
Yeah.
And in that conversation, he spent most of the time expressing his gratitude to the healthcare workers.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know, you know, the non-essential people who clean, the maintenance people, they're out. They're not in those wards.
Yeah.
The nurses are not only front lines, they're back lines. Yeah. They're also cleaning.
And feeding them.
Everything.
Yep, the whole nine yards.
And then here's another story of one of these people. Former Bronx doctor Jane Bendel planned to meet her son in Wyoming for a relaxing hiking trip after she retired last month. Then the coronavirus pandemic hit. She scrapped her long-awaited vacation for one last tour of duty. The 63-year-old former primary care physician is one of the scores of heroic medical professionals who are coming out of retirement to volunteer to help overrun hospitals in New York City. And she said, quote, I have my own fears, too, but I've lived through more. I have a longer term view. So, again, we thank the folks on the front lines.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate
it. Thank you.
All right. Let's switch off here to the first select woman of Fairfield. Brenda Kupchick, who's kind of, you're kind of like my cousin, right? You're Jennifer's cousin, which makes you my cousin.
Oh, shout out.
Yeah, I think we are.
I think your family is so big, your cousin's with everybody listening right now, somehow.
It's a strong possibility.
Yeah. Why is the first select woman in Fairfield so annoyed or frustrated?
Uh-oh.
What's happening?
Uh-oh. Was it us?
Uh-oh. Well, I wouldn't say annoyed. I would say slightly frustrated, and I think many of my area colleagues would join me in that frustration just because there's not a uniform standard that's being directed out of the state. So what's happening is leaving a lot of us having to make decisions that are different from the other towns. So we've been all talking to each other, trying to do the same things, so we are uniform.
Like, give me an example.
So, for example, the CDC, all our public health directors are saying that you shouldn't interact with people outside of your household. You should, maintain a distance from anyone if you're walking around in the streets or whatever. Now, I closed my parks and beaches early on, only because there was so many people in our community, gathering there, large amounts, and it wasn't safe. It clearly wasn't safe. So in an effort to stop the spread of this, I stopped those. I closed all our beaches, our parks, our public golf course. And then late this week, the governor sent out a directive from the Golf Association saying that people could still golf, leaving it sort of up to us in our communities to make a decision if we wanted to open or not, which was counterproductive to what we were all trying to do. So I had a conference call with my three private golf courses on Friday with my emergency management team and asked them if they would please not, if they would close in an effort to be unified.
How did that go?
It went really well. They decided to, each of them went back to their executive boards and met over the weekend. And they all, I will gladly say, they wanted to be part of the community and they wanted to step up and do the right thing, the civic-minded thing, and they all shut down on Sunday evening.
Huh. It would be a lot easier. So you're saying it would be a lot easier if there was one person on the top saying every golf course everywhere is closed. Every one of these businesses closed.
Right.
All of this closed.
Well, it doesn't make sense. If the governor shut down most of the businesses in the state of Connecticut, which is obviously a huge hardship for those businesses, in an effort to stop the spread of the virus, it didn't really make sense to have golf courses open. We all kind of need to be on the same page and be following these guidelines pretty strictly.
Fairfield is, are you considered a hot spot? I know you're right outside of Westport and you're in Fairfield County, which itself is a hot spot. So that would put you in that category, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We lost our first resident on Saturday.
Oh, I'm very sorry.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, it's not good. And this is a serious issue. And I think most of the residents are paying attention to it. But obviously there's some who think that it doesn't apply to them. And they won't get it.
What do you think about New Yorkers coming into Connecticut and renting homes and then not self-quarantining or going under self-quarantine?
So we're having that issue here. And so what I did was I spoke with my health director this past week or last week, and he crafted a letter and sent it to all the realtors in town, asking them to ensure that they shared that letter with anyone who was coming into our state who was looking to rent from New York, that they have to self-quarantine for 2 weeks and pretty much the information that's been shared, the technical sort of health information.
So this is the kind of stuff you're saying should come from the top, so you're not fielding all of these letters to all of these different businesses, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I got you.
And it would be helpful. I had, I've had several area leaders call me and say it would be better if we were all kind of on the same page. And this is not to, this is not to criticize Governor Lamont, because I know that he's in the same situation as I am. We're all, trying to navigate leading communities. He's leading the state in a very precarious time. None of us have ever done this before, so it's all new to us. But it would just be easier if we were all on the same page. I mean, this is a national health crisis. and I'm taking it very seriously. For me, protecting my community is my number one responsibility.
I think if you don't look at New York City and think that that could come our way, especially with folks from New York getting away and coming to Connecticut, I think we need to take it seriously. An hour ago, we had Mayor Ganim of Bridgeport on, and he said, look, this is what we live by. If it's easy, then you're too late.
Right.
If the decision is easy, you're too late. All right. So if you had one thing you could ask the governor for, what would that be?
I would ask the governor to shut down. I mean, it's hard for people, but parks, all of this stuff, beaches, you know, people are saying, I got a complaint from a Bridgeport elected official saying that, you know, I should stop Fairfield residents from going to St. Mary's. And I said, well, it should be closed. If everybody was closed, I'm getting complaints that Fairfield students are going to Stratford's beaches. I think we should all be on the same page. This is a highly contagious virus. And so it would be great if the governor just said, listen, everybody, stay home, stay safe.
Yeah,
and that means stay home.
Right.
Unless you need groceries or medical supplies.
I got you.
We could take a walk around your neighborhood or run or ride your
bike. All right. Well, look, not something that you can plan for when you're running for this office. So nice
Absolutely
job.
Not.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, way to go so far.
Yeah. So.
No, I didn't count on this. But listen, you know, sometimes in life you got to step it up and do the right thing for your community. And this is that time, not just for leaders, for everybody, for all of us. We're all in this together. We need to do this together.
Fairfield First Select Woman, Brenda Kupchick, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Nice job.
All right. Good to hear from you guys.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
We have a reporter. A Connecticut reporter has tested positive for coronavirus, and he's on the phone right now. It's John Craven from News 12. How you feeling?
Morning, guys.
Good morning.
A lot better.
Good.
A lot better.
Good.
You sound better.
Good. Yeah. When did you bring us through? When did you first feel something and then get tested?
Okay, so it was about 2 weeks ago, and I got to tell you, this thing really sneaks up on you. I mean, you know, I don't even really want to call them symptoms because they're so minor at first. You know, like Monday the 16th is the day before St. Patrick's Day. You know, I just had this really mild sore throat and just sort of this really dull headache. But I mean, you know, nothing that you would not normally experience. And then, you know, like when I say shortness of breath, I think a lot of people wonder, okay, well, what does that mean? Because I was thinking that, you know, coronavirus was like this, you know, you're just gasping for breath. And for most people, it's not that at all. It's just like maybe you walked up too many stairs. So, you know, you feel like you need a puff of an inhaler.
Huh.
So I didn't really think anything of it. I was like, oh, this is nothing. And then I went to work on Tuesday. And then on my way home, you know, I started feeling kind of achy too. And then I started thinking, okay, well, maybe this is something more, you know, but there's no like real guidebook about, okay, X, Y, and Z is what you feel like.
Now, so John, how old are you, if you don't mind me asking, and what kind of physical condition are you in?
So I'm 41. I think I'm otherwise healthy-ish.
Runner, exercise?
I mean, I don't have any
high blood pressure, nothing?
No, okay. None of that. And
All right. And
thank God, because, you know, I think if I had any of that, this would have been a lot worse.
I think so. Yeah.
Gotcha.
And then what made you decide to take a test?
Okay. Well, by the time I got a test, and that's the other thing, it's really hard to get a test even now. I already knew that I had it, and the doctor did too. So, you know, Wednesday morning, the day after St. Patrick's Day, I had called out sick just to be careful. And my temperature went up 5 degrees in like 3 hours. And when I first called my primary care doctor, he kind of blew me off and he was like, sounds like the flu, drink some Gatorade. And my temperature just kept spiking. And finally, I just gave up and said, I'm going to urgent care next door. Thank goodness I live next door to an urgent care. And, you know, and by then I had 102 fever. I was like shaking. I was super dizzy. And even then, you know, they tested me for strep. They tested me for flu and pneumonia. All that came back negative. The doctor's like, there's really nothing else this could be, but I'm still just sending you home with Tylenol.
Wow. That seems...
Yeah. So I didn't get the test till the next day when I came back. The fever was broken, but the breathing was even worse the next day. And I basically had to tell the doctor, I am not leaving till you test me for this. Because And it's not like it's not like I couldn't breathe. For me, it was just more obnoxious. But it was getting worse. And I was really scared that it was going to keep getting worse.
I think about what it was like right before St. Patrick's Day. And there were still questions about, do we cancel this? Do we cancel that? We don't have enough tests. It's a new world now. I think now if you say, I don't feel good, you get a test.
Right.
But man, that's...
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. And I live in New York, so I think it's still harder here to get a test.
Oh, right. Yeah, you guys have been very hard hit. Well, I'm glad you're feeling better. How long are how long are you out of work now?
Okay, so I've actually been working from home since last Wednesday. They got me set up with a whole system that I can access our video server from here, which has been nice. I'm physically go back to work on Wednesday because my quarantine period ended yesterday. And I got to tell you guys, when you're cooped up in an apartment for 2 weeks with just a window to look outside, when you go out in the world, it's sort of like emerging from a bomb shelter.
Right.
It was weird because on one hand, I was really excited to just walk around and see the world. But on the other hand, it's like, what am I walking back to? I mean, there's just nobody out, nothing open. It was eerie.
Yeah.
Yep, exactly.
John, I'm glad you're good. Thank you for coming on and sharing that story. I appreciate it. And
yeah, of course, guys.
Get back to work. Do some good work.
Come on.
All right. we got a couple phone calls here. We're going to start with Doug in Norwalk, which ties into Cameron, who's going to be our next call. Doug.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are you? I hope you're doing good.
Right back at you.
Yeah, I ventured out to the grocery store yesterday, and when I came out, I'm looking around, and I noticed everyone's taking their gloves off, and they're just throwing them in the street, they're throwing them in the parking lot. It looked like a used condom factory outside.
Yeah, I know.
Somebody told me about this.
Yep.
And I have seen it myself.
There's garbage cans.
And
people
you're
use
leaving.
Them.
Thank you. Yes, there's garbage cans everywhere. And they're not only the gloves, it's the disinfectant wipes that they give you to wipe down the carts.
Seen
and
those too,
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
It's ridiculous.
Yep.
People aren't taking the time to worry about anyone else. It's all about themselves. They just
that's
close
exactly
the beaches
right.
here in Norwalk because nobody's paying attention. And Mayor Rilling he was very straightforward about it. He said, you know, enough is enough. You people aren't listening. We now have to close the beaches and all the parks because nobody's paying attention.
No one's listening.
So just people
that happened in New Haven too. They closed the playgrounds.
Yeah. It's just people have to start taking a little bit more responsibility and just think about the next person.
Yeah, the other day it was windy, and one of those little things filled up like a little fat udder in the bushes. The glove blew with winds.
Like I said, it looked like a used condom factory out there. It was disgusting.
All right. Thank
you,
Doug.
Anyways, I hope you guys are okay.
All right, you too. Cameron. This is Cameron. Yeah. He's the overnight manager at Market 32.
All right.
Place that I love in Oxford.
Thank you. How's it going?
Good. You tell us.
It's calmed down lately. I mean, it's still crazy. But,
toilet paper crisis continues.
Yeah, it does. What's up with that? And paper towels,
too. I have no idea. Yeah. I mean, you got to start wondering how much more money do people got to spend right now.
On toilet paper.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, literally. Wipe it away.
Yeah. It's crazy. Shelves are still always empty, unfortunately. I haven't been getting shipments in lately with toilet paper, but I just don't get it. We got like 6 boxes of napkins the other day, and they sold out in the first couple of hours.
Damn.
Oh, no. Napkins, too?
Yeah.
Yep.
The septic people are going to be very busy unclogging septics and building new ones.
Very busy.
So there's no problem with supply or the amount of food or any of that. It's just that people are going bananas, right?
Correct. it's just been difficult keeping up with demand, but there's no shortage, which is good. But yeah, people are just going crazy right now.
I do understand that some of it is, well, we're not going out to restaurants, so we're eating more at home.
Right.
We're not doing any of these things, grabbing lunch somewhere else.
Yeah. But
we're hunkering down, so we need more stuff in the house. But uh-huh. Some of this stuff is crazy.
Like, yeah, come on. Yeah.
It's been weeks now of toilet paper.
Yes,
so
it has.
I know there are some people who have enough toilet paper for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then there's some who are looking at their last couple of rolls.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I hear it all the time, and I try and do my best to help out. I keep continuing posting on Facebook to try and let people know when to come to the store and get what they need. But like you said, there's some people that just have it for two years, and it's just difficult trying to help everyone.
Generally in the morning is when you guys are fully stocked, right?
Yes, yes. We have a great night crew, thankfully, at our store. And there's been times where we're getting, like, 30 pallets of just food and toilet paper and cleaning supplies. And we got a small crew, but everyone just works hard of stocking the shelves, keeping everything stocked and clean and organizing and locking the store. And it's a lot. But
and you find it's the same stuff that's going every day.
Yes. Yes. Wow.
What are like the top five things? So toilet paper, obviously.
Paper yep. towels, right?
Yep. Toilet paper, paper towels. Soap, Tylenol. Pasta and water.
No Pop-Tarts, really?
Water.
Yeah.
Huh. It's a perfect food.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for hanging in there. Thanks for keeping those shelves stocked. And then you heard the last call about the rubber gloves and the wipes are just being thrown on the floor. Do you guys have that problem as well?
Oh, yeah. We've had that problem for a while. And what's even worse is sometimes they just stuff it in the shelves.
Oh, come on.
Won't be pigs.
Mm-hmm. People.
So I talked with one of my managers, the store manager, and I said, we got to place garbage cans around the store. So I went around and found a bunch of garbage cans that were hiding in the back room and placed them around the store. And that seemed to help a little better. And I want to try and place them outside of the parking lot, too, because...
Well, good for you.
He said... Thank you.
You know, for you to like, cause to think that people will start doing the right thing is ridiculous. Let's just make it easier for our people.
Exactly right. Yeah. Make life easier.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, thanks for what you do. Thanks for getting the word out there. We appreciate it. Keep up the fight.
Yeah. Be safe.
Yeah. Thank you.
Say that to a supermarket manager.
Well, these times more likely.
Right, Cameron, hear it.
You're doing a good job. Greatest thing about radio is it's done in real time. It's the original social media. So you just call in. We find out stuff. Everyone's looking at different things at different times.
Yep.
And we compare notes. It's like an electronic town hall meeting for a bazillion.
Yes.
And we thank you for joining us. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. Lots of folks stuck home, not knowing what to do.
Yep.
I think the courts are closed down, so what are attorneys doing now? Well, if you're Norm Pattis, you start writing stuff.
Ah.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Chaz. Good morning, AJ. How are you guys?
Yeah, hey.
We're hanging in there.
What's up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm hunkered down at home looking, watching the birds land on the bird feeder, you know, which is nice.
Is that a metaphor?
Right.
Yeah.
Everything's a metaphor, AJ.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think one of the little shiny spots here, I know that sounds weird to say there is one now, but is that people are forced to do stuff that normally they don't notice or look at or do, you know, spend more time with the kids.
Yeah, no, I mean, I view it as an opportunity to kind of rethink the basics, you know. I mean, I'm, you know, but on those rare occasions when I've seen a neighbor or somebody out, I make a point to inquire about how they are and wish them, you know, and I've got a new greeting, stay well, you know, and who would have thought? I mean, 3-4 weeks ago, we were rushing around, hoping to meet deadlines, doing this, doing that. And suddenly everything's come ground to a halt. And we realize that, you know, in spite of all the things we occupied ourselves with, some things are more fundamental than another. So I hope you're well, Chaz. And I hope you're well, AJ. It's delightful to hear from you.
I knock on wood. I'm a very lucky guy.
I'm good.
I'm sorry.
You know, and you know, you look at history and you kind of wonder, like, you know, how are we going to endure this? There's a fascinating piece on the op-ed page of the New York Times this morning. I encourage everybody to look it up online. Of course, I can't remember the author's name, but it has to do with the plague in London in 1665 and how people hunkered down and got through that. And at that point, London lost 20%, one in five of its population to the plague that year. As many as 7,000 people a day died. And it got to the point where people were dying at such a rate, and the disease, the plague, was so contagious, they would not bury people, but post guards near the body to make sure that no one, including grieving family members, touched it. And, you know, that's horrific. And we're not going to have anything near that, although it feels much like it to me right now, as I'm concerned about loved ones. But the good news is that, you know, England soldiered on. They carried on. They kept their traditions. They kept their commitment to the rule of law and their commitment to decency. And I think we can do the same here. And so it's I don't want to say it's a great time to be alive. It's always a good time to be alive, considering the alternatives. But we are invited to summon something deeper than what we customarily have to draw from. And I'm hoping I'll be up to it one day at a time, you know.
This thing that you wrote, a prescription for CNN, a dose of the law, what is that about?
Well, so, you know, I keep CNN on just kind of as background noise. And when I need a fix of what's going on, I turn the sound up and I look. And, you know, we watched CNN a lot during the 2016 elections. We watched it during the presidential impeachment stuff. And they've always got lawyers talking about the legal meaning of this. What are the implications of the Mueller report? What about the votes? What will the courts do about this? What will the courts do about that? And in the last few weeks, you know, it just occurred to me yesterday, I've not seen a lawyer on CNN in weeks. What I see are doctors telling us we need to shut the country down. We need to quarantine ourselves. We need to do this. And there's many, many medical prescriptions, but they're ignoring the legal context within which these things occur. So over the weekend, we had this very unusual proposal. You know, Donald Trump was considering a federal quarantine of New England, of New York, parts of Connecticut and parts of New Jersey, an act that would have been unprecedented in American law. And then you had Rhode Island stopping New Yorkers at its border, and Governor Cuomo saying, "Hey, wait a minute, that's akin almost to, you know, to an act of martial law, to civil war almost." And these are exactly the right questions, and I think that lawyers have something to contribute to the discussion. Most of us will survive this illness. A significant number of us will die, and it is horrible. But for those who remain and continue to survive, the rule of law is what unites us, and lawyers have a role in deciding how those rules are applied and what they mean. And so I'm very, very disappointed in CNN. You know, I'm not looking to vote for Anthony Fauci by acclamation as a crisis dictator, as it were. I want his decisions. I want his input. He is the most reliable beacon as far as I'm concerned. But his advice has to come within the context of the mediating influence of the rule of law. And I think CNN's missing the boat there. I'm very, very disappointed in them.
I watch the press conferences, and I just think that there's a lot to be desired there on both sides. I think that the president could tone it down and not engage the reporters.
Right.
And the reporters can, they don't have to go in there with, you know, this one will, you know, I'm going to get them on this one. I'm going to get them.
Questions.
Let's all, for one instance, can we just act like we're trying to help one
Same
another?
Same team here for once, okay? Right. I know it's hard.
I hear you. The game of gotcha has got to stop. I mean, you know, I mean, I turned it on right before I went to sleep, and there it was. You know, Donald Trump said this, but 3 weeks ago he said that, and, you know, then he did this, and 2 weeks ago he did that, and now what's he going to do about this?
Yeah,
and,
let it go.
Candidly, he's in over his head, and we all are. I'll give him credit for trying to keep it a positive and optimistic and upbeat note. But, you know, his shortcomings are in plain view. I'm not sure that Corona Joe Biden could do any better at this point. I mean, he looks like a concierge at a high-end funeral home.
But yeah, and see, you know, how easy it is?
Yeah, see?
You just did it when we were saying, we got to stop.
Right.
I know, and there it is. I can't help myself. You know, I'm as bad. I have the disease.
We're all bad at it.
And I'm trying.
It's a good joke, though.
All right, I got to go to a break here. Norm, it's good to hear your voice, brother. Appreciate it.
Yeah, take care, buddy.
All right, Norm Pattis. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. How do you get a nice big D with cheese without even leaving your door?
How?
Let's find out.
Very easily.
Oh, yeah?
I love this lady.
See, I like that.
Diane Lavin with Dutch's Restaurants.
14. Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And Dutchess kicked off the questions with our small business town hall meeting this morning. It was a great question for the senator and the SBA guy. So. Yep.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And thank you for the opportunity to do that. It's you know, obviously many people are in the same situation with small businesses in Connecticut. So we appreciate you doing the meeting.
Oh, no, it was great. And it was a great question because everyone was asking it. That's why we started with it right out of the gate is what do you do and how fast does the money come?
All that.
Very important.
Yes. So what
yes,
do you guys
say? Anyway, it's about 50 cheeseburgers.
Yes.
Yes, you are more than welcome. You can stay at home and have either DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub deliver them to you. Or if you're like me and you're going a little bit stir crazy, you pile the kids into the car and you make it an outing and you go to drive through, and everybody gets what they want and easy. And we're delighted to still have all 14 locations open and running, serving the full menu, and very appreciative to our employees for working through this.
No, that's great. And, yeah. And I'm guessing that you guys are going through all the extra precautions and the cleanings and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're very in touch with our local health departments. We clean in between every order delivery. All of our servers, obviously, are wearing gloves, and we're taking every precaution.
Has the drive-through been busy?
It actually has been busy. It's terrific. Kind of funny, two gentlemen and Darianne, it's posted on our Facebook page, they are regulars, and they come every day for lunch, and they couldn't do that, obviously, with the restaurant. The dining room's closed. So they went through drive-thru, they bought lawn chairs, and they sat in the parking lot.
Al fresco, nice.
6 feet apart from each other.
That's great.
And had their lunch together. It was fantastic.
That's
so,
great.
Yeah, people are very creative, and we have the best customers.
I like the drive-thru because the food's from the grill
yes.
to your mouth.
Exactly.
Much faster.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's important, right?
To me, I want it hot.
Yeah, fill this mouth,
I want
please.
It right off the grill.
Exactly, please.
Hot off the presses.
Right.
I love it that way, too. Absolutely. Especially the onion rings.
Oh, there you go.
The onion ring. This is something, every time I mention Dutch's, I mention Big D with cheese. Wow. Jennifer mentions onion rings.
Right.
Also,
hot
dogs.
The hot dogs.
I mean, ugh.
I see the billboard all the time, like, I want those hot dogs.
Orange. Orange soda.
Yeah, our food photography is great. I mean, we have 125 different food items, so
125.
Should be able to find.
Have you been able to keep everything in stock? Has there been one thing that's harder to find now?
No, so far so good.
How about toilet paper?
We're not offering too much of that.
Right.
I don't think anyone is for
your employees. So. Right. You don't have to have it for the customers now, but for your employees. You're probably overstocked, right? Because you were ready to have customers.
We were ready to have customers, but I don't think we do too much of overstocking on anything. So, but our employees are taken care of, yes, for their shifts. They're okay, but we're not going to be offering a free roll of toilet paper with takeout.
Right.
Although
you can wrap the burger in it.
What? I know. What a marketing concept.
Right. You know, it's funny.
I can just feel the owners of Dutch's ready to skewer me right now.
But think about it. Like, we just stumbled upon this, but, you know, we're just waiting for someone to do that, right?
Yeah, someone.
Someone does that. They'll make a news cycle.
Yeah,
roll
toilet
there you go.
Yep. Yeah.
And there you have it. It probably will not be us, but kudos to the person who can do that.
Yes. Nice. We can afford that.
We're gonna put you on the spot and give you a quiz. Are you ready?
Oh, my gosh.
No math. No,
no
math.
Come on.
No,
all
math.
Right. I will try.
All right.
I'll try.
Here we go. Name all 14 locations of Dutch's.
Well, I can do that. It's except, oh, my gosh. Ansonia, Bridgeport, Darien, two locations in Fairfield, Naugatuck, Wallingford, let's see, Monroe. Did I say I started with Ansonia? Shelton. How many have I gotten so far?
Nine.
Norwalk. oh my gosh, I'm pathetic. You can't do this.
Just so we have
it's
many
a
places.
Lot of locations to remember.
I would just say go to the
it
website.
It is a lot of locations to remember.
Good for you for just jumping right into it. I love it.
Yeah.
You know, without any prompting, but hold on. Now, of course, the ones that I did not mention are going to be really ticked off. I'm going through thinking
Phil,
Danbury.
Can you look it up?
Danbury. No, I have not looked it up. I'm doing this off
no,
the
I'm
top
looking
of
it up
head.
Now. So, yeah, you said Bridgeport, Danbury, Darien, two in Fairfield,
yep.
Monroe,
yep.
Norwalk, you said.
She
Shelton.
Mentioned Aunt Sonia Bridgeport. She mentioned Shelton.
I did say Shelton.
She said
I
Longford,
said
Norwalk, Monroe.
Stratford.
Stratford. I did not say Stratford.
There
I
you
am
go.
So sorry, Stratford.
All right, there should
so
be
sorry.
Two more.
Aunt Sonia, Milford, Naugatuck, Orange, Wallingford.
And I did not say Milford and Orange. And Milford and Orange, I apologize, too, because you guys are awesome.
It's about to remember.
It is.
Yep. About to remember.
I, you know, now that you've done this to me, I am going to study. My kids are doing their e-learning. And I am going to go back, and I am going to study alphabetically and just by region so I can go sweep north to south. Because
do you have one of
I was
those...
not prepared for that question.
Yeah, you're sorry about that.
Right.
I thought
yeah,
it would be fun.
You know, this
I, so I had fun. You didn't have fun, but I had fun.
I did it. No, and boy, am I going to hear about it. Let me tell you.
I'm sure they understand.
You know what would be a fun thing? I'm sure you guys have already done this, but you do like a, you know, if you go to all the Dutches, you get something.
Yeah.
Oh, like a scavenger hunt?
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, you get like a passport, right? So each time, you're
okay.
Like, all right, then they punch it or they like they give you the sticker.
Or yeah, like the Connecticut Wine Trail does that.
Yes,
all
the passport.
So they put a sticker on for all at each different restaurant. And then when you go, when you have it full, then you get something.
Or you go to each
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. That's a terrific idea. What? Thank you very much. We're going to hire you to our marketing crew.
Excellent.
He's been saying that all morning.
I'm here to help.
Get a different piece
right,
of
after,
burger.
After the quiz yeah. Now, this is good. Thank you for the peace offering of a great idea.
You're just being kind.
Well, we appreciate the great food. I have a lot of Dutch's memories, and I can't wait to... I think I'm going to go today on my way home and stop at the Aunt Sonia one.
Well, thank you.
Big
thanks
cheese,
very much.
Hot dog, onion rings, and an orange soda.
Perfect.
Yeah.
A nice balanced meal for you. So
calories don't count in a coronavirus pandemic.
No, yep. They don't.
That's right.
They don't.
Absolutely
although I do order the salads because I'm getting right. A little too comfortable in my knit pants and I'm concerned about the jeans when all this comes
yep.
Up. You know, you got everything in moderation.
Right.
But we've got the healthy options as well indulgent options. So
excellent. Well, Diane, thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, and take care, guys.
You
stay
too.
Stay
you
healthy
too.
And safe.
You thank too. You, thank Diane. You. You as well. Yeah, we gotta. You know, look, we're all in this together.
Yep.
And if you have to sacrifice and have a big D with cheese,
well, if I gotta.
That's a good problem.
If I gotta.
And we're helping Connecticut businesses.
Exactly.
Damn right.
Right.
It's a win-win-win-win.
Like,
win, win,
hey,
win.
Hon, we gotta. You know that. Dutchess, come on. Hey, we gotta help. We gotta give back.
Do you love your state?
That's right.
COTA has turned up the frequency. Buses are running more often across Central Ohio. Starting this September, you'll see expanded weekend service on the east and north sides, including the Easton and Polaris corridors. Plus, there are added weekday trips downtown from New Albany, Canal, Winchester, and Tuttle. It's more service, more connections, and more ways to move across the city. Discover the enhanced schedule at coda.com/service changes. That's coda.com/service changes.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.